The Pre-Paces podcast is brought to you by two brilliant sponsors. Paces Ahead is a fantastic four-day face-to-face Paces course run in Brentford, London. They bring you a whole host of patients with fascinating stories and reliable signs, and these patients are absolutely delighted to allow you to hone your exam skills prior to exam day. Some of the patients actually are used in the exams themselves, and the next courses are running from the 20th to the 23rd of May, and then I will be helping out on the course running on the 28th to the 31st of May. Please do come and say hello. I'd love to have a chat and hopefully help you on your way to passing your paces. But if you can't make the course for whatever reason, our other sponsor, Pass Test, has got you covered with their market-leading online revision resource. There are tons of videos which help you revise from the comfort of your own home, and most listeners that I've spoken to have said this is equally essential for your paces success. But that's enough for me for now. Let's get into this week's episode of the Pre-Paces podcast. Welcome, listeners. Dr. Sam Williams here to wish you a happy new year in our first podcast of 2023. If you're a new listener, then welcome to the show. And if you're a returning listener, well, welcome back. We've got a ton of great content planned for you already, with some episodes already recorded, but plenty more ideas in the locker. And if you have an idea for a guest who you think would be fantastic for the show, please do let us know, either through our Twitter at PrePacesPodcast or through the contact details on the website over at prepacespodcast.com. The year has truly started off with a bang, and this episode is highlighting a raft of new information which became available just before the festive break. This episode focuses on the new format of Paces which is coming into effect in late 2023, and I thought it would only be suitable to get back the guest who started it all way back in episode 1. So Dr. Jenny Goff returns to help me trawl through the information available on the new Paces format. I also have a very special mystery guest who features towards the end of the show, so look out for that at the end of this week's episode. Welcome, listeners, to the Pre-Paces podcast and to our first episode of 2023. We're absolutely delighted to welcome you back to another landmark episode, and this is off the back of some huge news which came out of the Royal College of Physicians in late December. The long-awaited start of the new Paces format, formerly Paces 2020, now Paces 2023, has been announced to start the new format in the third and final diet of the exam in 2023, with the exception of our listeners in Singapore, where it will be introduced in early 2024. So, to join me in running through the changes to the Paces format, we are bringing back a fan favourite. She is my sister from another mister. It's Dr. Jenny Goff. So, Jen, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me again. Full-time lucky.
We are lucky to have you. And when I spoke to Jen in our very first episode of the podcast, she was an IMT2. But Jen, what are you up to now?
So I've finished IMT and now I'm doing a cardiology fellow year in Gloucester Royal Hospital and a bit in Cheltenham as well, in the process of applying for cardiology training number next year.
She's seen the light, listeners. But I think for now, let's get started on the new format of Paces 2023. So Jen, the first point is that most of the info we will be talking through is freely available on the mrcpuk.org website, but it's a long old slog to read, so we will be essentially extracting the most important information for you, the listeners, summarizing it, and hopefully putting across all the important points so you don't have to spend your whole time reading the website. And so the first things first, Jen, why did the Royal College take the decision to change the examination?
So I didn't realise this, but apparently it has actually been 10 years since the introduction of the original Paces format. And I think it was felt that actually currently the old PACES exam as it stands isn't particularly representative of the modern postgraduate medical education. And the idea is to try and change the exam slightly to build on that format previously to make it a bit more clinically relevant and a bit more realistic to day-to-day practice than it was before.
And so they're both pretty much fair enough points to make, but do the changes pack the punch that we expect them to? And are the changes significant enough to make a difference to all future PACES candidates who are sitting in the near future? So Jen, I thought it would probably be best for us to remind ourselves of the current PACES format. So maybe you can just quickly run through that for us before we move on to the changes to that format.
So this is seared in my brain from a few months of trauma. So station one originally was respiratory and abdominal examination. So each of those exams was 10 minutes in length. Then you had a little bit of a break, and then you had a 20-minute long history taking station two. Then you had a bit more of a break. And then station three was another dual examination station. So 10 minutes of cardiology, 10 minutes of neurology, another little break. And station four was the communication station, which was my nemesis. I don't know about you, Sam. But that was also a whole 20 minutes long, which was painful at times. And then moving on to station five, actually, maybe that was my nemesis thinking about it. But this was the brief clinical consultation. So this is 20-minute station, but 10 minutes per consultation. So in that time, you had to take a history, examine the patient, and tell the patient what was wrong with them in this big spiel that had to be very concise.
Yeah, and crazily crammed into just 8 minutes, leaving you 2 minutes of questions from your examiners. And I think that probably is most people's nemesis. And as we talked about in our very first episode, Jen, that station five was a third of the total marks for the whole exam. So that is the PACES format as it will be for the first and second diets in 2023. But the new format, which will start, as we said, at the end of 2023, is as follows. First of all, your station one has now changed. It is no longer a dual examination station. And instead, you've got your respiratory examination, which has stayed put, but you will have the first of two 10-minute communication stations. Now, my understanding is that these will be separate from your respiratory examination part. So it will be as you were in terms of the respiratory examination, but you will then move on to the second part of the station one, which will be a 10-minute communication station. And the other thing we should say about these new 10-minute communication encounters is that unlike the previous communication station, there will no longer be a question and answer session with the examiners afterwards. So you will purely be marked on what unfolds in that communication station. So then moving on to station two, and this is the first of, what are you saying?
Oh, I just wanted to ask a question, which isn't necessarily part of the podcast, but with the communication stations, is it still one is history taking themed and one is ethical themed, or can there be any kind of combination of each? Do you know?
No. We'll come on to it. But basically, the history taking's like scrapped entirely. So this is it. They're mainly going to be communication, as far as I get it. So it's going to be that. It's not. They're not doing any isolated history taking anymore.
Got it.
And next up, you'll have station two, which is now going to be one of the first of two consultations. So the brief clinical consultations are done. These are two new stations, which will be your station two and your station five, and these will consist of a 20-minute station. So in other words, what was the brief clinical consultation, which you had to cram in two 10-minute stations into one larger station, you now have two distinct consultations in two separate stations. But as we understand it, they will be more or less similar to your brief clinical consultations in that it will be an integrated assessment of a history, examination, and explaining your investigations and management plan to the patient. So it's going to be similar to the brief clinical consultations, but I'm sure many candidates or prospective candidates will be really pleased to know you'll have more time in which to perform that comprehensive assessment. And then, Jen, moving on to station three in the new format, it's actually completely unchanged. It's exactly the same as it was before. Cardiology, neurology exams, exactly the same.
They knew not to mess with the cardiology station.
Yeah, they've got backlash from the BCS.
Indeed.
Moving on to station four, you're going to have the second part of what used to be station one. So you're going to have your abdominal examination and then the second of your communication stations. And then station five, you're going to have your second of the what used to be brief clinical consultations, which are now just consultations. So that is the new format. So just to summarize very quickly, you've got respiratory examination plus communication one is station one. Station two is your first long consultation. Station three is unchanged, pure examination, cardiology and neurology. Station four, you've got abdo exam and your second of two communication stations. And station five is your second long consultation. But Jen, there's some quite significant changes, as our listeners will be able to tell. And so I wonder, do you want to take us through the big removal, which is the history taking?
Yes. So from what we've gathered, the communication stations included in the station one and station four are going to be history based. And that's because it was felt to be quite artificial, and just taking a history from somebody without any other context, without examining them, without then going on to kind of make a diagnosis isn't particularly representative of what we do day to day. So it's sort of been removed in favour, I guess, of these both these long consultations, but also different styles of communication that's perhaps more relevant to what we do day to day. Do you think that's a good idea, Sam?
I mean, yeah, in my opinion, definitely. I always thought that in the history taking, you know, it's a medical student exercise, isn't it? You know, isolated history taking for a single presenting symptom, I just felt it was very artificial. And we can all take a history in that time. And I think we'll go on to talk about the new longer consultation stations, but I think that is much more representative of what we do on a day-to-day basis. And yeah, as Jen said, absolutely right that we think the communication station has essentially been split into two separate ones. So you shouldn't really expect those new shorter communication elements of station one and station four to be expected to be extremely clinically in depth. It's going to be similar to other podcasts where we've talked about the contents of what was station four. And Jen, what do you think of the removal? Have you got anything to add on the history taking in isolation being completely scrapped?
I do agree that it isn't particularly reflective of what we do. But from a purely selfish, someone taking the exam stance, that station was quite nice because it was what you're used to. I had it first and it was a nice sort of segue into the exam. It kind of let me ease into it with something I was very familiar with. So I think from a selfish point gathering perspective, it's probably a bit of a shame to see it go. But from a actually testing your ability to be a medical registrar, probably is a good thing.
Okay, so moving on to the next part, we're talking about the communication elements, which have not been completely scrapped, but as we've talked about, it has been divided into two 10-minute stations, which are now partnered with what was the old Station 1 examination. So, Jen, what impact do you think this might have on our prospective PACES sitters? What are the potential consequences of splitting this communication station into two different scenarios?
So I guess it gives them a chance to be a bit more multifaceted with what they ask you. So my communication station was something quite specific. I think it was about Parkinson's disease and explaining something quite clinical to a patient. So I guess it gives them an opportunity to ask them something more clinical and maybe something a bit more ethical, or just sort of two quite conflicting scenarios that might test each candidate's abilities, maybe an angry patient versus a sad situation, for example.
One of the things that I thought was potentially you would have to, where before you had much more time to discuss, probably quite in-depth discussions like something like Parkinson's disease, you're going to have to condense down the information you're imparting into the most important bits to make sure that whoever you're speaking to is fully informed. So it's going to be a test of your almost efficiency in communication and making sure that you're being really clear with whoever's in front of you, whether it's an actor or a real patient.
Yes, agree. And found mine quite pernickety as well, my station four. I didn't feel like they were testing me on sort of minutiae of a quite specific clinical scenario, not really of my ability to communicate, I felt personally.
And I mean, I guess what it might mean for our PACES sitters is that either they might use similar scenarios and maybe just cut out some of the additional questions, which like they may have asked you, Jen, with your, you know, if you thought it was unfair, they may well just get rid of those questions to save on time. Or like I alluded to earlier, they're going to keep it the same and you have to communicate more efficiently in order to deliver the same amount of information. So that's the changes to the communication station. And now we're moving on to, I mean, I think this is the biggest change, which is that the BCCs are out. The brief clinical consultations are out. And now I think we're going to have to find a new thing to call them, because I don't know that I could just call them consultations. I feel like they need another name, Jen.
What's the opposite of brief? Prolonged. PCCs.
Earlier I just called them long consultations because now they are long, but then now they're like now they're like average length consultations.
Yeah, they're not that prolonged.
ALCs.
Normal length consultation.
NLCs. So as we understand it, the marking is going to be exactly the same as what was station five for these two NLCs, normal length consultations. That can't catch on. We can't make that catch on. It's awful. But Jen, surely this change to station five has to be a good thing, right? It's got to be a good thing.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think I found these the most stressful, probably more artificial than taking a history, because at least you do take histories. And it was very rushed. And, you know, you sort of go, oh, hello, what's wrong with you? This, great, turn around, stand up, let me see your hands, you've had a heart attack, goodbye, and then, you know, move on. It's a really odd way of speaking to somebody. And I think as well, the patient/actors have been briefed that that's the sort of vibe you're going for. So it's a very jarring consultation to have, and it just feels really unnatural. I don't know if you felt the same.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was really unnatural. And what you ended up saying was, you know, you'd get their first symptom and then you just think, right, I need to ask every single symptom about this. And then what it ended up with was a huge line of quite closed questions. I agree. It was time pressured, unrealistic. And all we can say is that hopefully this will mean you've got sufficient time to take a focused history, perform a focused examination. And then actually what it means is the 5-minute Q&A, which used to be in the history taking and the communication station. I don't know about you, Jen, but in those, it felt very artificial to me. It felt like they were asking questions for the sake of just asking questions.
And then you'd sort of run out of questions at the end and then be left there awkwardly sat with your examiner, twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah. And whereas now with this new 5-minute Q&A at the end of your normal length consultations, it's now, I would say, a reasonable length discussion for you to have probably what's going to end up being a more interesting conversation, because they're going to ask you about the presentation. You've got time to justify your investigations and management plan. And, you know, that's going to be where I think you're going to be able to score a good amount of the marks. And what I think will be a good differentiator between candidates.
Definitely. And I think it will actually make it more satisfying for the candidate as well, because when you have that chance to sort of show your knowledge in a structured way and explain your train of thought, that's much more fulfilling than just sort of, you know, rushing through a case and not having an opportunity to qualify why you said or did what you did. It might make it a bit more, I don't want to say fun, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think probably one of the things which I hope that listeners will find is that when a lot of consultants and more senior registrars than me have said, when they were doing their PACES, it was like, you know, it's the cleverest you've ever felt as a doctor when you're doing your paces. And I feel that these new consultations is almost your opportunity to just flex. You know, if you've really prepared in a thorough way for this exam, that's your opportunity to really show off, because I honestly think that it's the biggest change, and I think it's the most positive change for the new format of the exam. And so I guess the last thing we're going to talk about in this chat before we get on to the next conversation that I had on this topic, we are going to be talking about what is next from the Royal College. And what they have said is that they will be producing a comprehensive range of resources for candidates and examiners, including video exemplars of the new scenarios, the new encounters, an examiner webinar, and written guidance in addition to all of that. So keep your eyes peeled on the MRCP website for all of those to aid in your revision if you are going to be sitting towards the end of the year. But lastly, Jen, this is one last question, which I hadn't given you a huge amount of time to prepare for. We've talked about what we think is good, what we think the changes will mean for our listeners, but do the changes go far enough? Is there anything else that you think should or could have been added in this revamp of PACES to make it even better than what it currently is or what it will be at the end of 2023?
So we were speaking before this about potentially introducing some more managerial type scenarios. So a big portion of being the medical reg is about leadership and utilization of your resources and time management, et cetera, et cetera. So we were wondering about whether having scenarios where maybe you have to prioritize certain things or explain how you would deal with a situation that you're maybe not physically present for. So you were talking about maybe a telephone consultation or something like that, or a scenario where you're being interrupted a lot, something that's actually more relevant to your day-to-day job as the on-call medical registrar.
Yeah, I've got to say, we did discuss this just briefly before we started recording. And I have to say, I think this would be a really great addition to any future revamps of this PACES format, if any Royal College bigwigs are listening. I really think there should be some demonstration of non-technical or non-clinical skills in PACES, because there is certainly more to being a medical reg than just history, examination, and clinical diagnosis. For example, I would love something like you're given 5 or 6 different jobs which need to be done, and you have a team at your disposal, including yourself as the reg. You've got yourself, an IMT trainee, and a foundation doctor, and then you have to explain why you would delegate certain jobs to each member of the team. And I really love the idea of a remote management. So either a GP referral on the phone, or alternatively, someone calling from ED maybe, but not wanting a referral, but asking whether or not someone may need admitting, or whether or not you can formulate a plan to safely get this person home, which I'm sure many of our listeners who have already passed PACES and are acting as the medical reg, these are the types of conversations which we're trying to desperately have to keep patients out of hospital during this very tumultuous start of 2023. So, Jen, I think that's pretty much wrapped up most of the changes of the format of PACES 2023. Did you have anything to add before we move on to my conversation with my next guest?
I don't think so. Not that comes to mind. I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly in our thoughts on it. I'm very jealous of your next guest, though.
Jen knows who my next guest is, and listeners will soon be treated to a whole episode with this guest. So, the next guest who I managed to have a conversation with recently is Dr. Arantha Krishnan Raghuram, who is a consultant in general and respiratory medicine at Gloucester Hospital NHS Trust, where Jen works at the moment. But he is one of the big dogs within the Royal College. I don't think you could find much of a bigger dog. He has been the head of the Postgraduate School of Medicine at HEE in Severn, and is a chair and host for the MRCP PACES examination. He's had numerous roles within the Royal College, and not only that, he was in the late Queen's Honours List in 2021 for services during the COVID pandemic. So this is the chat which I had regarding the new format to PACES 2023 with Dr. Raghuram, affectionately known as Raghu. Mm-hmm. Just before we move on to my chat with Dr. Raghuram, I thought I would let you know that Pass Test already have an updated online PACES revision resource, which includes a ton of great content, which utilizes the new format of PACES coming later this year. As ever, if you want to find out more, just click on the link labeled Pass Test in the show notes of any episode of the podcast. But for now, let's get into my chat with Dr. Raghuram. So Raghu, now we know that the PACES 2023 is going to be coming for the third diet of 2023.
My take on this is COVID has delayed a lot of things. And the PACES 2023 is an improved version of the exam. A lot of, I know many of your listeners and viewers will have very little sympathy for the examiners, but pray, particularly if you're examining in station five, it was very challenging to get all seven skills asked and answered in 2 minutes, which is what you got to the end of station five, and then run across to the one. So that was one problem. The second problem was it really didn't reflect so much what was happening in real life. So the new version of PACES, and PACES is an evolving thing, we still kept the clinical examination bits, which was important. That was going to stay. But what we wanted to do was to allow those two consultation, 20-minute consultation, which would mimic the closest you're going to get to what you're going to do in clinic. So that station two and the new two, station two and station five, were now giving you 20 minutes to do what you need to do. And in scale, and certainly in one and four, you have the old-fashioned respiratory and abdominal stations. And the reason why I put this up is we're still testing all the four key stations that we did before. We're incidentally testing about communication. But what it got rid of was the whole bit about the history station, which many, many candidates felt was an undergraduate skill. So the old station two is gone. And what you really have is a much closer look at how real life works for the IM stage to stage one curriculum. But also, with the new curriculum and the needs of our patients of the future, what we want to do is to be able to show that the candidates are performing as they would in real life. Now, I have my views about the current station five, but I don't think any of us would get 10 minutes to get all that information, and all of us have had to compromise. So I think 20 minutes is much better. I think it's a better exam. I hope it lands and goes well. But like with any transition, candidates will be anxious. I get that. And my advice, as always, is to hunt in pairs, watch each other, critique each other nicely, and time yourself, if need be, video yourselves. Get rid of all the bad habits that you get before you get to the exam. So if you get it all right, it's like ice skating. You'd be on the other side and be a proud recipient of the diploma.
And one thing I wanted to ask was about the... So basically, the major change is that the Station 5s, they're still in, but we've made them longer, giving you pretty much double the amount of time, which are now the new Station 2 and the new Station 5. So I have to agree. I think it's a positive change, and I totally agree. The majority of the current station fives that we have now, is it's not realistic to score all the marks. And what you end up doing is a half-assed 10-minute thing for, you know, which you might see on ambulatory care when there's 50 people waiting to be seen. You basically just need to get someone out of the department. So it's not thorough, it's not systematic, and often it's half-assedly done. What I wanted to ask as well is the station three is pretty much the same because you've got the cardiovascular and neurology back-to-back examinations, but the new communication stations, is that going to be of a similar nature to the type of discussions that we saw in the ethics and communication stations, the previous station fours?
I think an increasing part of all our work is the ability to get the relevant information. And having that within the context of a clinical station made a lot more sense. And because this is a practical exam, having the communication, the ability to translate the information which you have in medical speak into English in a way that the patient could understand is a key skill. And that's what they're testing there. It will very much be how the examiners play that. And I would strongly recommend that when this time before the third diet comes in. So you practice that among, get your college tutors, get your registrars to go through that with you and listen to what you say. And that would be my best advice, is practice, practice, practice until it becomes second nature to you. Because if you're still thinking, oh, what do I do next? It's like saying, you know, I'm going to press my clutch. I'm going to go into first gear now. It's got to be kinesthetic by this stage. You've just got to do it so that you're focusing 100% on what is wrong with the patient in front of you. Again, with the communication skills, it's trying to read the room, don't worry about the examiners. Your focus is on the patient in front of you and make sure that you're able to talk to them and explain what you're going to do. So that would be my tip.
And do you think it's still realistic to expect an ethical slant to some of those communication stations, or even maybe a legal slant?
I don't know. I think it will very much depend on the case and what they have. To be honest, if you've got this far, your knowledge of the ethics and the legal aspects of it would be pretty much secure by the time you get past the written. So they're not you're not going to prepare any additional at this point of the game. What I'd really do is forget about the exam. Go back to sitting in clinic. What would you tell the patient in front of you in clinic? And if you can replicate that, you should be sailing.
I would echo that advice. Really, really good advice there. And Raghu, if I can just get one last question before we end for today.
Yeah.
This is just an idea which I've thought about in the past, but I don't know whether or not it would ever be used in this type of situation, because it's a clinical encounter, really, and still talking about the communication elements. Do you think you would ever see, or do you think it would be helpful to ever include some professionalism related conundrums like you might find in a higher specialty interview, for example? Because we see in those specialty interviews, sometimes it's a conversation with or you're asked to role play a conversation with, for example, a consultant colleague, a registrar colleague, a junior doctor colleague, where there's been some elements of professionalism which sometimes come up in the higher specialty interviews. I just wonder if you think that's would ever be appropriate or important to test in an exam like PACES.
I'm trying to work out what clinical context that would come in. I'm struggling.
I guess maybe just to think of an example, something like you've noticed a colleague has made an uncharacteristic prescription error, and it's the third one you found this week, and you've also noticed that they're, I don't know, not that they smell of alcohol or something, but they've been acting out of sorts, and it's something about determining, is this a genuine person who has an error in clinical knowledge? Is it someone who is underperforming for personal reasons or other reasons? And I guess I'm trying to think about it in that sort of interpersonal working relationship sort of sense.
I don't know, Sam. I think it'd be very difficult to weave it in. I will go back and check this, but I'm struggling to find how they're going to weave something like that into this. I don't know. I will let you know.
Yeah, in honesty, trying to think of an example just then was really, really hard. So maybe it's not the best idea. But Raghu, I think we'll end it there, because you've been more than generous with your time. But I really appreciate it. So So, Jen, I think that conversation pretty much sums up a lot of the similar sorts of things that we've talked about on the show here today. So that only leaves us to say a massive thank you for coming on again, Dr. Jenny Goff, Cardiology Fellow at Gloucester, soon to be Cardiology Registrar, I'm sure. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us on the show again.
Thank you very much for having me, Sam. It's always a pleasure.
Jen's cringing. No, Jen, you're going to get a number. It's going to be fine. Listeners, that's the end of another show. Please don't forget to like, follow and subscribe to the show wherever you get it. If you have 5 minutes, we'd really appreciate giving a 5-star review. It always helps people find the podcast if you do leave those 5-star reviews, even just one or two sentences. And we love to hear from you in any case, so please give us a shout on our Twitter. It's at Prepaces Podcast. If you want to go above and beyond and support the show, it's buymeacoffee.com/prepacespodcast for a voluntary pay what you can donation, which helps me run the show. But for now, we are just about out of time. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time on the Prepaces Podcast.